God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special word of welcome to our visitors. We're so happy that you're here. It's hot summer here in South Florida. I'm getting a little feedback here. It's hot summer here in South Florida. People are moving all over, back and forth. And I always tell people, nowhere is it hotter than here. I don't know if that's true, but that's what it feels like. I'm so happy you're here. And if you're here with us for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. We're certainly very happy to welcome this little child to be baptized today, his parents and godparents. Thank you guys for being with us. And we're also very honored to have with us today the Anglican Archbishop of West Africa, the Diocese of Liberia, Archbishop Jonathan Hart. We're happy to have you. He wanted to sneak in. He didn't want me to know that he was sitting here in the crowd. Archbishop, you can sneak in. First of all, because you got that great outfit. And second, because, you know, we just love you. Now, I got to tell you, Victoria, his daughter, you may not know, but she's a member of our congregation. Victoria, raise your hand so they can see you. But no, don't worry about it. Anything that goes on crazy here, Victoria does not report it to the Archbishop. So. There was a small delegation set up by the UN for a humanitarian mission. And they were going in a little private jet from one place to another. And just as the plane takes off, a few moments later, it begins to shake and tremble. And it began to feel like it was a lot more than just turbulence. And sure enough, the captain on the little PA system said to them, "Listen, I've got bad news for you. We have to eject. We've got to jump off soon because this plane's going down. But do not worry. We have some of the best parachutes and you'll get there safely, I promise." And so shortly after that, the captain, you know, the pilot, puts on his parachute and jumps off. Ooh. Now the people in the cabin are saying, "Hey, we've got to jump." And the first one says, "Wait a minute. I'm a very important doctor. I'm a very intelligent doctor, perhaps one of the most intelligent in the world, because I'm very close to discovering the cure for cancer. And so I'm sorry, I cannot die. I've got to jump off this plane," takes this parachute. Then another one says, "You know, I'm sorry, but I'm a lawyer. And I'm like the lawyer of lawyers. I'm a very important lawyer. And I'm sorry, but I've got to jump off." Then there was, you know, a psychologist, and the therapist was world-renowned, written many books, very smart, said, "Listen, I'm sorry, but I've got to get to these people to help them, and I can't die on here. I'm getting out." Woof. So the last ones left were a priest and a young little boy. He was about 7 or 8 years old. And the priest says, "Young man, I've lived a long life. You know, God's blessed me a lot. You know, it looks like there's only one parachute left. All these people ran out of here. They didn't think of us. They were selfish. But go ahead. Just take that parachute." I said, "Oh, Father, you have nothing to worry about." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Those very intelligent people, one of them jumped off with my backpack." Today I want to share with you 3 words of Jesus from the gospel. 3 words that mean a lot. The first one is in a prayer where Jesus looks up to heaven and says, "Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you revealed them to infants." You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to children. You know, sometimes we may not realize it, but when it looks like Jesus is complaining in the gospel, he's really not complaining. He's in shock. He's in shock that these scribes and these Pharisees and these religious people that were supposed to know the law and the prophets, that were supposed to be the first ones to expect the Messiah, because they were supposed to have minds and hearts that were open to him. They were the most close-minded. They were the ones that were not able to receive the Lord. So even though they had a lot of religious knowledge here in the head, and they were quite intelligent and aware, if you will, of the scriptures, they were not the first to have an openness of mind and heart. It's a real challenge to us, because too many times we depend on our own knowledge to arrive at the truth of things. We depend on our own human limited wisdom to judge things and to make decisions. And we forget to count on God. That's why faith can never be just something up here. Faith must eventually get down here. Because a true relationship with God requires that we open our hearts to God. Yes, we want God to illuminate our minds, our reason. That's very, very important. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to be dumb Christians. That's not good. But please, open your heart to the Lord. Because ultimately, when we open the hearts to the Lord, when we open our hearts to the Lord, what happens? We're transformed. We don't just listen to God and accept precepts and teachings that come from an ancient tradition. We make it a relationship with a real God, a loving God, a God that we can feel present in our life. That's so important. Perhaps today's religious environment, perhaps the biggest problem in the religious establishment of today, is that we've spent too much time dwelling on doctrines and teachings, and we haven't spent enough time dealing with the relationship, the personal connection with God. You know, with the story of a very wealthy king. And he was so wealthy that he lacked nothing. He had a wonderful palace. He had many servants. And he felt very comfortable with his life, but there was something inside that was missing. He felt sad. And so he called one of his closest workers and said, you know, I'm very, very sad. I've been sad for a long time, you know, and you're a very spiritual person. Maybe you could help me. What do you think I need? And this close advisor of the king said to him, you know what you need? You need to find a very, very happy man. A very happy man. One of your subjects. One of your many subjects in this kingdom. A very, very happy man. And you need to borrow his shirt and put it on. And you're going to feel happy. Well, you know, the servants, they went everywhere. They went everywhere looking for the happiest man, and they finally found the happiest man out in the village. And when they got there and found him, there was only one problem. He didn't have a shirt. He didn't have a shirt. You see, happiness is an inside job. And that's why I tell you that we have to take our relationship with God and take it to a deeper level. And that's why Jesus was bothered by the religious folks of his time. They didn't want to recognize John the Baptist. They blew him off. They didn't want to recognize him. You see that today's gospel begins with those two criticisms of John and Jesus. Did you notice that? And then Jesus says this prayer. And then he says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there are many, many struggles in our life, but ultimately they all boil down to how are our lives spiritually? Because when we are spiritually well, even though we may not be physically well, even though we may not have all the things we think we need to be happy, even though we may not have physical and economic abundance, when we are spiritually well, we feel rich. Because we're rich in God. I remember the first time I went out to work with the migrant workers in the fields, many people who come from Mexico and Central America, and I was there with a group of religious sisters,
who were missionaries, and I was like 18 years old. I was a young seminarian, and we went out in this Volkswagen that I wasn't sure was going to make it through the field. But eventually we got to the place where all the migrant workers were, and there were mostly men, and their wives and their children were inside the little makeshift homes that they have for the migrant workers. If you've never been there, if you think people do not live in dirt floors in America, you're wrong. There are many, many housing units with dirt floors in our own country. And I remember walking into that little makeshift home, and as I sat down on a milk carton, which was what they used for furniture, I remember there were four or five kids. And I remember that the mother said something like this. You know how mothers have a way of giving you the eye? You know? Moms are good at that, yeah. So the mom went, that meant get them something to drink. And I'll never forget the face of that little 6 or 7 year old girl when she came with a bottle of Coca-Cola. And she opened it up. And they had no, you know, cups to pour it in or anything like that. They just kind of did something like this and extended the hand, like saying, you drink first. That act of generosity has always stayed here in my mind. You've maybe heard me say the story before, because it always comes to my mind when I think of what an incredible thing that these children, that I'm sure were thirsty, that I'm sure all they wanted was that cold drink at the end of their father's work day. Probably the only thing they were going to get to drink was that they were able to offer it up to somebody else, to a stranger they had just met. You see, when we're filled with God, when our hearts are filled with God, we're able to do that. Happiness is an inside job. What we have to realize is when we trust in God, when we trust in Jesus, when we recognize the Lord Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, when we're able to have that direct relationship with the Lord, then all these things flow from our hearts. Then we're able to really live, or attempt to live, truly Christian lives. That's why, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Such an important story. You know, what does it mean to really rest? What is Jesus talking about? There was a man who had a lot of stress in his job, and he got home one day and thought, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. Now, the air conditioning system in his house had a problem, and so the whole night there was a horrible sound coming from the AC. It sounded like a helicopter. So he didn't get to sleep all night, all stressed out, thinking about the problems at work. There was no way he could even close his eyes for just a moment. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, he told his wife, listen, I got to go to work today. I'm out of here. So he put himself in the car and he went to a local park. And he opened the window just a little bit and he lay back. Oof, 3 or 4 minutes later, total silence. He felt great. Now the sun was about to come up. And just as he began to fall asleep, just as he began to feel a sense of peace, he hears a jogger coming by. And the jogger sees the car, sees the window open. He says, sir, what time is it? And so the man looks out the window and says, it's 6:15 a.m. Thank you so much, keeps running. Just about then, the man says, oh, now I'm going to go to sleep. And puts his head back down. He feels wonderful. About 4 or 5 minutes later, another jogger. Hey, sir, you know what time it is? And the man says, it's 6:20 a.m. Oh, thank you. Keeps running. Right around that time, the man says, wait a minute, I got to take care of this. Grabs a piece of paper out of the glove compartment, gets a pen, says, I don't know what time it is. Puts it on the dashboard. Oh, goes to sleep so nicely. About 5 minutes later, Hey, sir, it's 6:25 a.m. What does it mean to rest? When Jesus says, come to me and you shall find rest, rest for your souls, he's not just talking about that physical rest that we get from sleep or from taking a few days off. He's talking about resting in the Lord, which is another kind of fancy way to say trust in the Lord. Put your life in God's hands. Because ultimately, that's what we're called to. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. All those things that are difficult for us to deal with, all those stresses of life, all those problems that we feel that somehow are bigger than we are, the struggles at work, the struggles with family, the struggles in marriage, the struggles with our children, the struggles and the ongoing conflicts and difficulties of life, all of that, we don't need to keep it for ourselves. If we want to find rest and peace, we need to truly offer it to the Lord. What happened on Calvary? What did Jesus do when he shed his blood? He took our burden with him. He took everything with him. And it was transformed by the blood of the cross. See, if we want to aspire to be truly Christian, we have to live by that mystery. We have to live by that mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus to know that the Lord accomplished it for us. Because oftentimes we become overburdened by something that is not ours. True humility is about knowing the truth about who we are. And I would venture to say, I would add that Christian humility, or the Christian sense of humility, is knowing who we are before God and understanding the greatness of God and the limitation of our lives and understanding that God wants to use that. Because even in our limitations, there are many spiritual lessons. True humility is knowing who we are. The great mystic Teresa of Avila used to say that humility is truth. The great philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher closer to our times, once wrote in his diary, "Today help me. I just want to know who I am." Now, those who are familiar with Kierkegaard's philosophy know that whole thing of the angst and all that he experienced, but some say it was a spiritual thing that he was going through, this thing inside. But I would take it a step further and say to you, you know what? That's something we've all experienced. Something is lacking on the inside, something we long for. That something is God. We can try to fill it with whatever we want. We can try to, you know, find the right shirt to wear. Well, we can look around for the answers of wise people and intelligent people. But ultimately, if we trust in Jesus, we find the truth. The truth about God and the truth about who we are. And all of the anxieties and worries and passing problems of this world, all of those things can be seen in a new light when we have authentic trust in God. All those burdens. So the words of Jesus today mean a lot. When Jesus says, "I am gentle and humble of heart," he's saying to us, look, you too are called to be gentle and humble of heart. True humility is trusting in God. Not deceiving ourselves to think we have all the answers. Not deceiving ourselves to think we've got everything figured out. It requires the light of faith. It requires the light of truth. And that only comes from God. When we open our lives, our minds and hearts to God, God is able to lift the burdens. When we close ourselves off to God in our arrogance, thinking we know it all, we take the burden on ourselves and we can be crushed. Because sometimes life hurts, doesn't it? Because there are problems that are bigger than us, aren't there? There are difficulties and things that we just don't know what to do with. So today our spiritual homework is to offer it to the Lord and rest in the Lord, because he wants to give rest to our souls. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.